This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moscowain. Last night was Family Values Night at the Republican Convention in Houston. In her speech, Barbara Bush talked about how happy she was when she carpooled and was a den mother, and of how the Bush family went to church, cheered at the 4th of July fireworks, and sang carols together at Christmas. The Republican Party platform blames the Democrats and government intrusion for undermining the stability of this kind of traditional American family. The Republican message this year is that theirs is the party of family values. But these values that the Republican Party stands for took on a more extreme tone on Monday night when Patrick Buchanan addressed the convention saying, "There's a religious war going on in our country for the soul of America. It's a cultural war. And in that struggle for the soul of America, Clinton and Clinton are on one side and George Bush is on our side." We invited Patrick Buchanan's policy director, Terry Jeffrey, on today to tell us more about this cultural war. I asked him what everyone is asking everyone else this week, how he defines traditional family values.
Well, I think family values are the values that you see going back pretty much all the way to Adam and Eve. Humanity has isolated and defined these things right from the beginning, but I think, first of all, family is mom and dad and children. I think there are a lot of specious definitions of a family going around out there, and probably the most outrageous one is that two men or two women living together constitute a family. I think everybody really, a family is, you recognize it when you see one, but since all Americans grew up in families, I think they know what they are.
Well, what you seem to be saying is very different from what Barbara Bush said last night at the Republican Party convention. She said, however you define family, that's how we define family values. She said family means putting your arms around each other and being there.
Well, that is something that people and families would do. But I think if you're talking about a definition of what is and is not a family, I think that's really what is at the root of it, is that if you take something and you redefine it and you redefine it, eventually you can end up making it mean nothing. And that's what some groups in our society are now doing to the word family. A family quite strictly means a mother and a father and children. And you can use it in a general sense to describe a baseball team. You know, I think the Pittsburgh Pirates used to call them a family, but clearly that's just metaphorical and figurative. But when you try and take the literal sense of a family and say that, say, two homosexuals living together are the same thing as a mom and a dad and a child, you completely debase and destroy the word and make it meaningless. And then if you apply family values, use family as an adjective and say family values and describe something that can pertain to two homosexuals living together and also to a mom and dad and a child, you've completely destroyed the concept of family values.
Well, let me just ask you something. Let's take a gay couple that has a child.
Right.
They don't commit adultery. They teach this child about caring for others. They go to church. They pay their school taxes. They set a good example. What's wrong with that picture of a family?
Well, by definition, a homosexual couple is promiscuous. Because by definition, a homosexual couple is engaging in sexual activity out of wedlock. And it's not only sexual activity. I mean, it's on one level, it's akin to extramarital or premarital sex. But then there's another level because it's unnatural and perverse sex. So I think that, I mean, what you're trying to do is create some sort of equation there between a heterosexual couple who have had their union endorsed by God and the state in traditional marriage, that when they engage in sexual activity may lead to procreation, which is children, and the creation of a family, and another unit, which is a woman and a woman or a man and a man, that is not sanctioned by God, is not sanctioned by the state, and there's no way that their union can ever lead to the creation of children. So, I mean, there's absolutely no equation right from the beginning, right down at the core of a homosexual relationship, there's a lie.
But if you're talking about the kinds of values being transmitted adult to child, and we'll say parent to child within a family,
right.
You're talking about how society views this particular family, but how about how this family views itself and how it views the children within the family? And if they are trying to transmit the kinds of values that you believe in, but they don't have the kind of relationship that you
right.
believe in, what's wrong with that?
Well, I think you'll find homosexual unions transmitting the AIDS virus more often than they're transmitting family values. But sure, hypothetically, you can have a situation where someone has engaged in something that is extremely disordered, like a homosexual relationship. It's immoral, It's completely out of order with nature. And having made this giant leap into what is a perverse lifestyle, stops with perversity there and does everything else according to the normal traditional Judeo-Christian moral code. That's hypothetically possible. I think, however, if you honestly look at what's happened in our society since there's been a great upsurge in the incidence of homosexuality, that you find a lot of other things going by the boards, too. In fact, I think if you look, you can look at the social and cultural history of our country, starting almost from the 1950s, and see a general slide in public morality. And attendant with that slide in public morality, you see things falling apart. And I think it's very clear, actually, to someone who sits back and looks at it rationally. When you have a massive increase in the incidence of divorce, when you're aborting 1.5 million babies every year, when you have 150,000 Americans dead already of a venereally transmitted virus, these things, in the 1950s, you didn't have X number of people dying from a venereal transmitted virus every year. The change in our moral conduct as a people is reflected in our health as a community.
How do you suggest that President Bush address the threat that you perceive that homosexuals pose to family values?
Well, first of all, I think maybe we focus a little bit too much on homosexuals. So I think the prevalence of homosexual activity in America is symbolic of a general movement away from traditional morality. But I think that, number one, that the presidency is the bully pulpit, and that the president has an obligation to speak up for the truth. And the truth in this area, in terms of morality and traditional morality and sticking up for it, it's very hard to do because the popular culture is against it completely, and you become an enemy. I think Dan Quayle, for example, was demonized when he took on Murphy Brown. But what Dan Quayle said about Murphy Brown was absolutely, completely correct. I give him great credit for the courage he's had in sticking by it and keeping up the fight. And Bill Bennett gave a pretty good speech on the same theme last night. So I think, number one, national leaders, articulate, intelligent people have to go out there and stick up for the truth and not flinch and not walk away from it and not be intimidated by the media and a general adversary culture that is going to come down on them with everything they have, because they rightly perceive that people who stand up for traditional values, who stand up for the morality that has been with us from the beginning, are in fact the enemy of the established cultural elite in this country, which essentially has a pagan value system.
Well, let me just ask, and I don't want to get sidetracked on Murphy Brown, but she, and as we all know, is a fictitious character, but she was given a choice between having a baby and having an abortion. She
right.
chose the baby. Isn't that pro-family?
And the show made clear that it was a legitimate choice to kill the baby. It is not a legitimate choice to kill the baby. Anybody who thinks it's a legitimate choice to kill an unborn baby is a moral idiot. And that show presented the decision of moral idiocy as the equivalent of a decision of moral righteousness, which is to protect the innocent.
The platform, the Republican Party platform on abortion, is rather more conservative than President Bush's stated position on abortion. The platform wants to outlaw all abortions, and the president has stated several times that he wants to outlaw abortion except in cases of rape, incest, and the life of the mother.
Right.
How do you square those two positions? And let's also say that Barbara Bush said that abortion shouldn't be on the platform at all.
Well, Barbara Bush was wrong to make that comment, and quite frankly, your opinion is incorrect. And there's definitely a problem with tracking that logically, because what it really boils down to is you either have a human life or you don't. And if an unborn child is a lump of protoplasm no different from a tumor, then there's really nothing morally wrong with excising that lump of tissue. But if an unborn child is in fact an unborn child, which all medical science indicates that it is, or she or he is, then there's really nothing you can do and no way you can rationalize saying it's okay for someone else to go in and exterminate that life. So I think you do have a problem with people in political life tend to get away from the fundamental things, and they tend to lose track of what really is at issue here. And I think...
So you don't agree with the president then?
On that it's okay to abort a child who was born... who is conceived in incest?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. It's completely inconsistent position philosophically, morally, and otherwise. I think he can clarify his thinking on that. There's no question about it.
My guest on Fresh Air today is Terry Jeffrey. He's the policy director for Patrick Buchanan. We'll talk more after a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with Terry Jeffrey. He's the policy director for Patrick Buchanan. Tell us what this cultural and religious war is about that Patrick Buchanan spoke about when he was addressing the Republican National Convention.
Okay, I think what you have is the traditional values of the American people, which derive from the Judaic Christian tradition, and you have people who very much want to live their lives according to that tradition, and they want to pass that tradition on to their children. They want to do it through the nurturing in the home, and they want to do it through what goes on in the schools, and they want to do it through our popular culture. And on the other side, you have a school system and a popular culture and even some elements in our government that want to take, essentially, our children away from us and create them as a new man or a new woman whose value system is completely removed and alien from Judeo-Christian culture. And
how do they want to take children away from families?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, I think if you look at the sex education programs in the schools, you see where it's really happening. Let's say that you're a Catholic like I am, and you want to raise your child to believe in sexuality and the way someone ought to deal with their sexuality the way the Catholic Church believes in it. You send your child to a public school, the sex education program in the public school has completely a different agenda. They have sort of a pragmatic morality of sex. They talk about things like safe sex and so forth. So at that point, you set up a conflict of interest between the parent and the school over who that child's going to become. Now, when you look at the popular culture and the school system and even some things that the government is doing, you see that across the board. For example, I mean, what the Democratic Party is trying to do by completely legitimizing homosexual unions and putting them on a legal level, that's implying that they're on a moral level with heterosexual chaste marriage. They're trying to say, I mean, as you know, if Bill Clinton's going to be elected president and get up in that bully pulpit and tell every child in America that it's equally okay to grow up and be a homosexual, engage in homosexual activity, as to grow up and be married and love your wife and be faithful to her and have children, then you have real cultural war going on there. I mean, that is a very radical thing. I would ask you to imagine in your mind what would happen if George Washington or Thomas Jefferson were to be allowed to come to Bill Clinton's inaugural, were he elected, and hear him declare that he was four square in favor of homosexual rights. It's inconceivable that in 200 years a Republican has gotten to the point where someone could have a view that is so radical and so alien from what made America great and what we stand for. That is truly radical.
Patrick Buchanan talked about Judeo-Christian values and right. wanting to support those kinds of values.
Right.
First of all, what are those values as you see them? And by just talking about Judeo-Christian values, are certain people being left out?
No, absolutely not. I think, first of all, the most clear statement of Judeo-Christian values are in the Ten Commandments, in the law that God handed down to the Jews, in which Christians embrace as Christianity is a religion that was derived from a Jewish tradition. And actually, if you look at there's C.S. Lewis wrote a great book where he sort of went around and looked at all the religions of the world and the common morality. But there is a phenomenon called natural law. Clarence Thomas tried to talk a little bit about it in his nomination hearings, and I think Thomas Aquinas is probably the clearest enunciator of it. And I recall that Martin Luther King referred to Thomas Aquinas when he wrote his letter from the Birmingham jail, and he said, "A just law is a law that comports with nature as God created nature, and a just law, an unjust law is one that does not." And I think that literally all human beings, because they are creatures of God, have at least a germ of an understanding of natural law, which goes along with the natural order. And I think, for example, when you talk about abortion and homosexuality and those sorts of things, they are clear violations of the natural law. It's not natural for a mother to kill her child. It's not natural for men and men to engage in sexual activity. And I think if you look at all the religions and all the cultures of the world, you see that there is a common gravity back towards the natural law, so that the morality that Jews and Christians embrace, and the morality that Muslims embrace, and the morality that Buddhists embrace, and even the morality that right-thinking atheists embrace, is the same thing, pretty much. We all agree that murder is wrong.
But why use the word Judeo-Christian values when you're really talking about something larger than that?
Well, no, because America is a country. We're not a Buddhist country. The United States is not in far East Asia. The United States is a country that's roots and traditions come out of Europe. And Europe is a country whose philosophical and religious roots go back into Greece, and they go back into the Middle East, specifically to Palestine and the homeland of the Jewish people, and that the homeland of Christianity, where it came out of. I mean, there's no question that that is the linear line of our tradition. I'd say more than that, that, you know, if you are a believing Christian or if you are a believing Jew, you believe in your religion and you know it's true. And, you know, we're proud of that.
Is feminism a threat to family values?
Absolutely.
In what way?
Well, if you're talking about the feminism of Hillary Clinton, which says that minor children ought to be allowed to sue their parents, I think what you have there is very clear. You have someone saying that the state ought to come in and be sovereign in the family rather than the mother and the father. That somehow the state is more qualified morally and otherwise to arbitrate in a family. And
well, I believe the case that she was referring to is a case in Florida of a young boy who was taken away from his mother because she abused him. He was put into a foster family, wants to stay with that particular foster family, and is actually suing his mother to release him from her so that he can stay with the family that has loved him.
Let me read you exactly what Hillary Clinton said, because I have the quote right here. This is from an article she published in 1979 called Children's Rights, a Legal Perspective. It says, quote, I prefer that intervention into an ongoing family be limited to decisions that could have long-term and possibly irreparable effects if they are not resolved. Decisions about motherhood and abortion, schooling, cosmetic surgery, treatment of venereal disease or employment, and others where the decision or lack of one will significantly affect the child's future should not be made unilaterally by parents. Children should have the right to be permitted to decide their own future if they are competent. When she's talking about intervention, she's talking about intervention by the courts. She's talking about minor children being able to go to the courts to, quote-unquote, make decisions about motherhood, abortion, schooling, cosmetic surgery, treatment of venereal disease, or employment. Your 13-year-old kid in the most absurd case wants to get a new nose. You say no, Hillary says she can take you to court or an abortion.
I believe the cosmetic surgery case that she was referring to was teenage girl who was born with a pretty serious facial disfigurement. She wanted to have plastic surgery, and her parents did not, saying that's basically the face that you were born with.
Schooling. Your 13-year-old son wants to go to the public school. You want to send him to the Christian school. He takes you to court. I mean, there's no question what she's saying here. She's saying that minor children should be able to bring the court into the family to settle disputes about motherhood, abortion, schooling, cosmetic surgery, treatment of venereal disease, or employment. Now, what does she mean by treatment of venereal disease? You want your child to be treated, and the child doesn't want to be treated, so she can take you to court and sue you not to get treated? I mean, it's there's no question what she's saying here. It's a radical thing. It's a radical idea to say that a minor child should be able to sue a parent over a decision what high school they're going to go to.
At what point do you think the state should have an interest in what's going on inside a family life? And
I'll tell you one thing that's absolutely for certain, that the state has an obligation to stop a mother from aborting her child.
And beyond that?
That's a place where Hillary doesn't want to give the child a choice.
But beyond that, where do you and Patrick Buchanan see the state's interest in a family?
Well, I think if you look at the 14th Amendment, you have rights spelled out that that cannot be violated, and clearly that a parent cannot violate the child's rights of right to life, right to security in his person. And I think that we have criminal statutes that take care of these kind of things. I mean, it is against the law to abuse your child. It is against the law to kill your child unless your child is unborn.
The polls really tell us that what people are most interested in is our jobs and the state of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
What does family values have to do with that?
Well, jobs, why does someone want a job? I mean, the fundamental thing is you need resources to live. You need money to put food on the table. You need money to buy clothes for your children. I know from my personal experience that people. I'm 34 years old. I have two children. I don't own a home because homes are too expensive in the Washington area for someone who does the sorts of things I do. And I know a great many people who are in my situation who are wondering: are we ever going to be able to replicate sort of comfortable middle class family life that our parents had? And, you know, there's some folks who go into law or banking who are smart guys or women, make that kind of money. And, you know, you're talking about a lot of money in most of the metropolitan areas of this country in order to replicate the traditional American middle-class way of life that people enjoyed in the 50s and 60s in this country. And I think that it's interconnected, really. And especially, and I'll tell you what intensifies it. When you want to raise your child to believe in the traditional things that Americans have believed in, you want to bring them fully into the Judeo-Christian Western tradition that is fundamentally what the United States is all about, and you have an adversary culture, which through its TV and its public school and its popular culture wants to take your child and make your child something else, what money becomes is a tool for protecting your child from that adversary culture, for providing tuition for a school that's not going to corrupt what your child believes in, for providing a home where they're safe from the crime that goes on in the streets, finding that home in a neighborhood where there aren't drug dealers on the corner. That's why people want to work and make money, to provide for their families. So really, employment is a very, very key issue. And it's an important one. Republicans have to do things to turn the economy around. There's no question about it.
Let me ask you, by attacking radical feminism and the ideas of Hillary Clinton and the lifestyles of homosexuals, who are you trying to woo?
What you're trying to do is stand up for what America believes in. What this country needs is good moral leadership. And I think Beth Buchanan is a great leader. And I think, I'll tell you, why was there this Perot phenomenon earlier this year? I think a lot of it was that there's a great many people in this country, most of whom I think are middle class, who they're not just alienated from our government, they're disgusted with our government. And I think what really caused that disgust, that alienation, is they look at Washington, they listen to politicians, and they hear them saying nothing. They hear them lie, they see them cheat, and they won't take a stand for anything. You ask them a direct question, like, what do you think about a homosexual rights bill? Most, the average Washington politician would duck that question because it's too hot to handle. And I think that there's a large group of people in our society, they see politicians act like that, they've been seeing it going on, and they're just sick and tired of it.
But who are you trying to appeal to?
Regular Americans. Regular Americans who believe in the things that made America great.
Terry Jeffrey is the policy director for Patrick Buchanan. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and this is Fresh Air.